All right, Dogs by Nature is glad to be joined by Ryan Alton, writer for SB Cleveland. And if you want to go ahead there and give your Twitter handle, considering that's how we ended up hooking up here.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RYINCBUS.
Easy enough to handle right there, right? And you're pretty active on there. I mean, you're on there pretty much even more than I am.
Yeah, it's kind of addicting for sure.
Well, the thing that we kind of, and if you don't follow Dogs by Nature on Twitter, you may not have seen the back and forth here that Ryan and I have had about the new ownership group. Obviously, I've been outspoken about it. I've obviously already gone over my feelings on it. But, Ryan, you're in the camp of you're head over heels for Jimmy Haslam here, and you're totally on board with him.
Well, let me just start by saying I don't know if I'm head over heels. When I first found out, I was actually on vacation when I found out that Randy Lerner was selling the team. I was just awestruck that the timing of the sale, and you know, everybody was pumped and jacked about training camp, and we had all these nice looking draft picks coming in, and it looked like our offense was going to hit a stride, and you know, we had all the enthusiasm heading into training camp. And I think the timing of the sale really took the wind out of Pat Shurmur's sails and kind of took the wind out of the excitement about training camp at the time. And I was skeptical as all could be. I didn't want somebody coming in and blowing up everything again and, you know, resetting us back to, you know, a situation where we were going to have to, you know, go through what we've been going through basically for the last 12 years. You know, I just felt that it was just, we were finally starting to maybe get some momentum, and I didn't want to let that go. So it's taken a little bit of a process for me to kind of get to know, just from what I've read and the research on Jimmy Haslam, and then now, of course, Joe Banner coming in. It's taken a little coming around for me.
Yeah.
But I'm open-minded, definitely, towards it now, more so than I was in July.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I'm with you. I thought the timing of the sale, you know, yeah, that's another bad move by Randy Lerner, and he's had a few. I'm one of his biggest defenders. I think what you want in an owner is a guy who writes checks and gets out of the way, and that's what he's done. And the one time he did actually try to be part of the process, he hired Eric Mangini before he hired a GM, and that turned out to be a complete, you know, bomb.
Yeah.
So I just think a lot of people get caught up in the Haslam, that he's a good speaker. He looks the part. He's talks a good game. I mean, honestly, you know, I keep seeing people, and I'm not saying you, but people are writing about, well, Jimmy Haslam's plan. What is it? You know, I haven't seen anything other than him say, well, I'm going to win championships. Well, hell, if that's the case, I should be the owner because I want to win more than he does. So, you know, and it's
I get the frustration. And, you know, I the other day, of course, when he was speaking and then Joe Banner came in and they had the press conference with him, you know, you kind of felt like, all right, here we go again. We've heard the same old talk from every new guy that's ever come in. Holmgren, I mean, everybody said the same exact thing when Holmgren took over. Oh, my God, he's great. He's such a breath of fresh air, and he'll turn this around and no BS and stuff like that. The difference here, I guess, that I'm seeing, or that I'm trying to think about, I guess, is that you don't have somebody miscast the way Holmgren was.
Okay.
You know, he's a coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's not a Hall of Fame front office executive. I think he was miscast. I think what Randy Lerner did was he hit the panic button when Eric Mangini started off 1-11 in his first season. He started listening to the fan base. That was highly publicized, how he brought in fans and met with them over certain things.
Yeah, Dog Pound Mike and company.
Right. And so he went out and found the biggest name money could buy in Mike Holmgren, and I don't think he really paid much attention to what kind of experience Mike Holmgren had in running a front office. And, I mean, like, to use Haslam's words, he basically hired him to be the de facto owner. He was sitting in on owners' meetings while Randy Lerner was worrying about his soccer team or doing, you know, God knows what else. So, you know, I don't think Holmgren had the credentials to turn around the ship, even though he said that he would and, of course, you know, made all the promises that everybody else had. I think that Haslam, you know, granted, he's never been a majority owner in the NFL before, but, you know, what owner has been a majority owner before,
right,
and then been in, you know, he has been with the Steelers the last 4 years, so he's kind of gotten his feet wet there. And then, of course, you bring in Joe Banner, who has extensive experience running the Philadelphia Eagles for, you know, over a decade. So you finally have people with experience at the very top positions. You don't have guys who are, you know, just big names that just come in and make promises and then, you know, it gets pulled out from under them or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we've heard it all before, and I kind of liked how Banner said, you know, I don't want to be the next promiser. We have to prove it. So at least he acknowledged that. I thought that was kind of refreshing. I see something different now. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Shurmur and Heckert. You know, of course we want to keep continuity, but, you know, if they're not, I know they all worked together before in Philly, but the one thing that struck me that Banner said the other day was that him and Haslam kind of came together and had this vision of what they wanted to turn the franchise into before they even knew which franchise they were going to be able to operate, before it even came to them that, oh, hey, the Cleveland Browns are for sale. So if that's the case, I think the fact that we have all these guys with Philadelphia connections, I think it might just be a pretty convenient coincidence when you think about it. I mean, yeah, they all have history. We don't really know if the history is positive or negative. Of course, they're all saying the right things right now. Yes, we all got along. Yes, we worked together, blah, blah, blah. But I think it might just be a coincidence that Banner and Haslam came into the situation and, oh, by the way, look at all these guys I used to work with in Philadelphia. You know, so
sure,
if that's the case, I don't know if it matters what Shurmur does the last 10 games. I don't know if it matters what Heckert does at this point. I mean, if they have this vision of what they want to do for the long term, which is all they talked about is long-term stability, you know, the Steelers way and all this stuff, then, you know, if Shurmur and Heckert don't fit into that, you know, it might be...
Dunzo. I mean, it's what it's going to end up being. And see, that's the thing that really pisses me off. I'll be totally honest with you. I think you're totally right. I think Banner got pushed out in Philly because he wanted a bigger role. I think he wanted to be a big fish. And with Andy Reid being there, you know, that's not going to happen. And I think he found a guy, a rich guy who wants to be an owner in Jimmy Haslam, and said, look, I'm a brilliant guy. I can do all this. I can do all that. All we got to do is find a football team, and I can be in charge, and you can, you know, mop up the money and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's so many conflicting reports between Heckert and Banner, what happened in Philadelphia. I don't know who zigged, who zagged, what happened. Either way, I just think the more you look at it, something stinks there and something didn't go right there. And I think you're right. I think Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert, outside of going 9-1 or 10-0, whatever it is in these last 10 games, I don't think there's any chance that they're back next year. And I'm outspoken as hell about it, and I don't care who knows it. That pisses me off. I think Tom Heckert is one of the better, if not, you know, I'm going to slap, you know, under 50. I think he may be the best GM under 50, and I don't know what other GMs, so don't put a whole lot of weight inside that, but I love what he's done here. When you look at it, his first couple of drafts were focused on the defense, and our defense has been fantastic. It was top 10 last year. We struggled this year at times, but I think that has a lot more to do with injuries and things like that and suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned his attention to the offense, and you kind of start seeing all of a sudden the offense finding their footing. Everyone laughed at us when we spent a second-round pick on Josh Gordon. Now everyone in the league's going, oh shit, that guy's really good. You know?
I love that.
Well, I'm saying other people maybe around the league said,
oh, yeah,
a second-rounder on a kid, you know, who's got popped for drugs and didn't play last year, you're an idiot.
Sure.
But, and, you know, hey, I was outspoken. I didn't think we should have traded up to get Trent Richardson. But we did. And that seems to have kind of solidified at least the backfield. And Brandon Whedon, hey, for everyone who didn't like him, I don't see how you can't like what you're seeing out of him. I mean, granted, his week one was terrible, but ever since then, he's gotten better, made better decisions, and he's made this a potent offense. Well, and then you kind of sit back and think about it. Well, there's Jordan Cameron making plays at tight end. You know, have you heard Mitchell Schwartz's name called at right tackle this year? Because I haven't. And you know what you need out of a right tackle? Never to hear about him.
Right.
You know, and sure, we'd love a little bit better guard play, but I mean, hell, if that's what you're complaining about on your offense, oh man, I wish our guards were better. Well, shit, things have gone right, you know?
Or your fullback.
Oh God. If I could tell you the amount of words that have been wasted on Dogs by Nature on fullback. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, here we are, we have young talent, and it was a 5-year plan. Now, you can argue whether Mangini, his first year was a year one, year two, whatever. I don't care. But I don't think Heckert and Shermer have gotten the full length here to prove what they can do. And I just think you're pulling the eject button here sooner than you should.
Yeah, and that, and you know, that you're exactly right. And that was my biggest fear. It's, as soon as it was announced that the team was for sale, I said, you're going to get a new owner, you're going to get a new president, and they're going to pull the rug out from what we have going. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of where I think it's heading. And, you know, I think Lerner promised Holmgren, hey, you got as much time as you need.
Yep.
Here's your money. And, you know, you do this the right way and build from the ground up and take as much time as you need. And then, of course, he brought in Heckert, and then they finally, you know, Holmgren. The other problem with Holmgren is he made some decisions early on with his heart instead of his head, and that was keeping Eric Mangini for the year.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that was because he wasn't ready, or he didn't know enough about Shermer yet, or he was waiting for Shermer. Who knows? But I think they all were. I think they were under the impression that they would have at least 5 years, and they were going to do this the right way, come hell or high water. And now Lerner goes and sells the team after, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the rug's going to be pulled out from under them. And it's not their fault. I mean, I agree with you. I love what Tom Heckert's done. I think he's the best GM we've had in God knows how long.
Oh, I mean, that's not even without – it's easily since 99.
And his scouting, his scouts, the people that he has working under him, I mean, they've done a lot of good work, you know, if you've done research on them and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just another case of, you know.
Cleveland being Cleveland.
Trying to build a house from the roof down instead of the ground up, you know. You put the pieces in place, but you don't put them in the proper order. And, you know, unfortunately, I think now we finally have the correct pieces at the top that we're supposed to have. You know, the guys that are going to lead us to where we want to be as a franchise. But unfortunately, that might mean, you know, they're going to bring in the guys that they want underneath them. And you know, the biggest thing, the worst mistake in the world would be, kind of, depending on how you look at it, is if you do. You know, if Jimmy Haslam does what Mike Holmgren did, and, you know, he, let's say Shermer does go on a little bit of a win streak here, and what if he's not the guy that they had in mind when they came in, but they say, oh, well, you know, we'll give him the last 10 games, and he wins 5 or 6 of the last 10, so they think, oh, well, you know, maybe this could work, and then they end up keeping him for another year, and they find out, no, this isn't what we want. You know, so then you're in the same situation Holmgren was in with Mangini. Now you're waiting another year to start again. I don't think Haslam and Banner want to even go there. I don't. I think if they have their minds made up about who they want to bring in, and they probably do, since they already shared this vision supposedly, then you just reset. I mean, as bad as it would be, and as painful as it would be for us fans, I think that's what's going to happen. So,
And, you know, I'm not a huge – I mean, I like Pat Shurmur. I think he's a good enough head coach. Be honest with you, I think there's five people on earth that make a huge difference as a head coach. I just do. I don't think there goes – if as long as you have a solid play caller on offense and defense.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. Anyone think Barry Switzer can even do a Rubik's Cube, let alone be a fantastic football coach?
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, Pat Shurmur – okay, so if he comes, he goes, okay, whatever, either way. I just think he should get a fair shot. On the flip side, I think your GM is without a doubt the most important person in your entire organization.
I agree.
And, you know, for us just to throw out Tom Heckert, and people say, well, you never know, maybe it'll be an upgrade. And I put the question out there. I would love to hear who's going to be an upgrade for Tom Heckert.
Who else? I mean.
And that's the thing. If Banner comes in here, and let's say he has an eyeball on somebody in, let's say, just throwing out names here, the Jets. I haven't done any research on it, so that's probably completely and totally wrong. Whatever, I don't care. The name being thrown around is Nick Saban. Let's play around. Let's say Nick Saban comes here. Big Jimmy whips out the checkbook, writes some $15 million a year, come coach in Cleveland. I can think of two guys that are without a doubt, beyond reproach, going to be Cleveland Browns. I think it would be Joe Hayden and Trent Richardson. And I got killed for this when I wrote about it. I said Joe Thomas could be traded. He's 29 years old, a huge contract, and he hasn't played as well this year. If Nick Saban looks at this and says, I don't have a second-round pick this year, and let's say, you know, insert team, the Arizona Cardinals want to give me two second-rounders and a conditional third-rounder for Joe Thomas, is it out of the realm of possibility that he does that? I don't know. And, you know, we talked about, and the thing I brought up was Braylon Edwards – in 2007, had maybe the best year in the NFL out of wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, did anyone think, this guy's gone in 2 years? No. I mean, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. And when it's a new head coach and a new regime, everybody's on the table. So everyone's like, well, this player will stay, this player will stay. Bullshit. We don't know. Everything. This is a wild card situation. And that's just the most disheartening thing, because even the players – Bill Dawson, Joe Thomas, all these guys say, this is the best team that we've had since we've been here. And those are guys that have been there for the 2007 season. And they say, this is in the right direction. And it's just so frustrating to me as a fan. And granted, when I got on Twitter that day, I was pissed, you know, and you and I go back and forth. I mean, obviously nothing, you know, was vulgar or anything like that. It's two guys who were on the different side of the fence, and it's just a shame. I'm a Randy Lerner defender, but it just really sucks that he sold the football team at this point in time. It does. And I don't bash him for not caring or anything like that, because I just don't think, you know, who cares if he cares? As long as he writes checks, who cares? But this definitely is a knife in the back on his way out the door, and it's tough. Hopefully Big Jimmy, as I will continue to call him, because I think he's Jerry Jones Jr. I just worry about him. That's the feeling I get. You read the rumor mills. I know a couple people down south. I used to live in Atlanta, that, you know, were pretty plugged in with the college football world, and this guy pretty much thought he ran Tennessee football.
Hmm.
Look at what Tennessee football is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, now sure, it's apples and oranges comparison there, but I just think this is a guy that has always wanted to be the big man on campus. And now he's got himself a little yes man in Joe Banner. And, I mean, and I say that, and people are like, well, why is he a yes man and all that? Well, let's be honest. Joe Banner probably seeked him out because he was a rich guy, wanted to be in charge. Well, they've been buddy-buddy here for how long? Joe Banner's not going to go against Jimmy Haslam.
No.
I mean, hey, Jimmy, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to draft a quarterback here. Well, that's a pretty stupid decision. Well, I want a quarterback. Well, let's go get yourself a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's, I tell you what, if we go Geno Smith or anything like this, unless Brandon Whedon literally comes out and just starts punting the football backwards, I'll just rip my eyeballs out because,
I don't think we need that. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, obviously. I mean, we got 10 more games to go. But if we have anywhere close to a high pick, you know, or have a shot at Geno Smith, you know, I would trade that pick in a heartbeat and, you know, bolster that defense, and, you know, then we're rolling. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I know it's a stark contrast from what we had with Randy Lerner, and I think You know, I think the problem with Lerner was that, you know, we didn't get a lot of respect around the league from other franchises because, you know, we had such an absentee owner and we basically had, you know, a former coach, you know, sitting in on all the meetings in Randy's place. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face. I think a lot of the other owners felt, you know, they paid hard money and, you know, worked hard to get their franchises where they were. And then, you know, here's Randy Lerner just shelling out a ton of money to Mike Holmgren and saying, okay, go to the meetings for me, you know, make all these decisions, you know, cast your vote as an owner when he's not an owner. He's the president. You know, he's a former coach.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't even qualified to be president, let alone owner. So, you know, it's, I think, Haslam will be obviously well received amongst the other owners. And, you know, if he can make changes and be more visible, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a Jerry Jones Jr. I mean, I'm sure it's easy to get that impression. I just don't know. You know, it's hard to say at this point, you know, until we see for sure. But I'm optimistic. You know, I'm always going to be optimistic with the Browns, even if, you know, even if they get rid of Heckert, you know, at least I'm able to see, trying to see the reasons for why that might happen. I mean, yeah, it's obviously a blow. I think he's, you know, the best GM we've had and obviously responsible for, you know, giving us the talent that we have. But if they feel that there's somebody else out there that can take us to the next level, you know, what choice do we have, really? I mean,
right.
we could be upset about it.
Go root for Buffalo.
We just, yeah, exactly.
We could always go root for Buffalo.
We could just have to kind of cross our fingers and hope that, you know, we finally have the right people in the right places in the right order and, you know, away we go. So
I'll be interested to see this weekend, you know, against the Colts. It'll be interesting to see how this team responds. You can either come together or you can break apart. And, you know, somebody on, and I apologize to whoever it was on the message boards, kind of made a comparison to when the Browns moved. And obviously it's not that drastic. But you can kind of see the parallels of so many off-the-field questions all of a sudden being in the locker room. And, you know, and I made the point of, guess what? Every single week that these guys go, they're going to get asked, do you think Pat Shurmur's going to coach here next year? And they're going to get asked it a million times. And there's no way to get away from that animal now. None whatsoever.
It's unfortunate, the timing, you know, my post for SB Nation Cleveland today, you know, it's just, you know, normally this kind of transaction and transition would happen in the off season, but, you know, of course, you know, we're the Cleveland Browns, so nothing goes, you know, the conventional wisdom, you know, and decision making seems to always kind of escape us. You know, so now we have October, the middle of the season, we have a new owner coming in, and, you know, I guess it's kind of good that Holmgren's sticking around and he can ease in the transition and stuff like that. I don't know how visible or, you know, supposedly he was at practice today. So I guess
he's probably just packing up the rest of his crap.
Saying goodbye, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the vibe I'm getting so far is that, you know, it's real positive there. And, you know, they're coming off this win and Shurmur has them focused on the Colts, and they're trying not to think about distractions and stuff like that. I think they're so hungry to start winning. I think right now that's on the front burner, and I don't think they're letting. I mean, the news of the sale and all that stuff—it's kind of—it's kind of already been out there for a while. So I think that's, you know, I think training camp was really when that was starting, and they couldn't focus on training camp, and maybe that's why we got off to such the start we did. But I think now, maybe with the win and now that Shurmur can finally, you know, the announcement of the sale and everything has gone through, I think hopefully I get the feeling that they're just starting to focus on winning football games now and not worrying about all the other crap. So, yeah, there will be those questions, obviously, especially if they lose again, which they will. You know, they're not going to run the table here.
Knock on wood.
Huh?
Knock on wood. You never know.
Yeah, that'd be great. But Hopefully they're just focused on winning football games, and they got that taste in their mouth of a win, and now they're just hungry and they want to go after it. And you know, this is a good matchup for them to go into Indy. And you know, I know there's nothing more Brandon Whedon would like than to beat Andrew Luck again for the second time in a year. So prove all the naysayers wrong that thought he's just an old timer that you know has no business being a first round draft pick. I definitely think he's worthy of that, and I see no reason to replace him at this point.
Well, let's hope you're right. I think they come out and I think they hammer the Colts this weekend. I think it's an angry football team, and I think they like where they're headed, and they don't want to see it get broken up. And I think they lay the smack down on the Colts. So hopefully we're right on that.
That's what I hope too. I hope it's a cathartic, you know, release of all this pent up, you know, frustration and you know all this stuff going on. I think now he can finally just let it all out and hopefully, go kick their ass.
Ryan Alton of SB Nation Cleveland. Give your Twitter handle there one more time so people can go ahead and give you a follow.
That's at Ryan Cbus, Columbus.
Ryan, thanks for taking the time out to join me, and good luck on Sunday, right?
All right, Matt. I appreciate you having me on.